You know, one of the things I'm sure you've heard is you can't supplement yourself out of a bad diet. So yeah. You can't just take a pill to fix everything. You got to start with the foundations that you're talking about. Good sleep, good food, movement, stress reduction. All that stuff is very important.
You're listening to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, your home for holistic, evidence-based cognitive enhancement strategies. And now your host, Eric Levi.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, where we discuss holistic, lifestyle-based cognitive enhancement. My name is Eric. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, and today on the podcast, I have Brian Carroll. Brian is a certified functional medicine practitioner and movement therapist who helps the outdoors community to reduce injuries and improve their health so they can get back to exploring nature. His big health crisis came from mold exposure that taught him the importance of finding the root causes to illnesses so you can take back control of your life. He is also the host of the Summit for Wellness podcast. And me and Brian had a fascinating conversation about really all things holistic health. We talked about his background as an outdoor enthusiast and how he uses these principles to help people recover from chronic disease. Of course, he has the functional medicine background. Of course, he has a nutritional therapy practitioner background. And he's able to use these fundamental functional health principles in combination with the foundations of being an outdoor enthusiast to truly help people recover from these chronic diseases. We talk about mold. We talk about gut health. We talk about just the ability of how you can connect back to the earth, again, to truly use that as functional medicine. So this was a fascinating conversation. You guys are going to love it. Now, before I head on over to the podcast, just remember that all the show notes, including links and references to everything we discuss, can be found at holisticnootropics.com/podcast. Also, if you are new to the podcast or want to learn more about using supplements, diet, and lifestyle to hack your brain for peak performance, remember to check out holisticnootropics.com. With no further ado, everybody, enjoy my conversation today with Brian Carroll. Curious, you know, because there's a lot going on with the outdoors theme. You know, you got the green screen, or I shouldn't say that, you're out in the wilderness right now doing this podcast. Amazing. You got a microphone set up probably to a tree or a generator or something. But where does the outdoors, how does the outdoors really apply to your life and your practice?
So the big thing for me is I am very type A personality. And if I didn't have an outlet to take a break from things, I would totally fill up my schedule with a million different things to do. And my outlet to just de-stress and get away from things was getting outside. And what I recognize by doing that, my stress levels go way down. I relax more. I get to see amazing places that I've never seen before. My breathing gets better. I'm breathing fresh air. I'm drinking fresh water. Like, how many people can say they actually have water directly from a glacier or, from nature? Not many of us. Most of the water that we drink is super processed and minerals are stripped out and then added back in. And it's the whole outdoors is just so fascinating. And I think it's a great way to replenish someone's health.
Yeah. You said a lot of interesting things there, you know, especially when it comes to water. Like, I don't think people realize how big of a difference in physical and mental health, just the purity of your water makes. You know, it's like we're 70% or 80% water. And a lot of people are drinking this tap water, or you're drinking soda, or you're not drinking water at all. And you're, how come I'm depressed? How come, you know, I have anxiety? How come like I'm overweight? How come it's like, I just don't feel like getting after the day. And it's like, well, you're literally replacing the fluid that is the majority of what you're made of with something filled with chemicals.
It's this whole trying to supplement something without trying to think of the entire, you know, the whole picture and putting all the pieces together. A lot of times you're just pissing away all these wasted supplements instead of actually utilizing the things that your body actually needs.
Yeah. Yeah. The outdoors thing is interesting too. like, I'm just looking at your background, and I realize, like, when I go outside, it's like, I'll go out into, you know, in Puerto Rico, I live in the jungle, or, you know, if you go to the forest, the woods, even you go to the beach, and you don't realize, like, there is a mental effect when you're looking at nature and you're looking at, like, trees, or you're looking at woods, and your eyes are actually, you know, out in the distance. And at a subconscious level, it's almost like you're processing all of these different, like, life forms, you know, it's like you're processing all of these real visual stimuli that humans have evolved with for 2 million, 3 million, whatever it is, years, that if you're just sitting in your home watching a TV all day, it's like you're literally stripping away humanity.
Yep. Yeah. And you're talking about a really interesting point, is we have all these manufactured colors in these screens that we're staring at. And once you step outside and you're actually looking at all the colors around you, you notice all these different types of colors and blending of colors and everything too, from a different visual standpoint. And even, you know, if you're looking up at the sky and you see clouds and you can see the colors of the clouds change throughout the day. And it's that type of stuff that I don't know if there's any evidence to suggest, you know, how healthy that is for, like, your eyesight. But I feel like my eyes function so much better when I'm staring at that stuff than I do just staring at a screen all day long.
Well, I've actually found research on forest bathing. This idea of, like, going into the woods, and then, you know, just the idea of how the brain functions differently when you're surrounded by, I mean, when you're literally bathing in the trees and the green. And I think there's been studies done, I can't confirm this, on the effect that your brain has when you actually look at it like a giant blue ocean. There are these physiological reactions that happen in your brain that I think will put you into a parasympathetic state.
Especially when you're in urban areas, you have all this added stress that you don't even recognize as stress, but your body definitely recognizes it as some sort of stress. Another thing that I absolutely love about the outdoors, and you get this more when you spend multiple days outdoors, is a rebalancing of your circadian rhythm. So, you know, you and I, being in our office spaces and our homes, we have access to electricity. We can stay up late if we want to. We have all these different distractions. Whereas outside, if you're spending multiple nights out there, I mean, for the most part, you're going to bed right around the time the sun goes down, once it starts getting dark, and then you're waking up with the light of the day too. So you're getting this rebalancing of the circadian rhythm. And there has been some studies to show that if you're out there in nature for between 3 to 7 days and you're naturally going to bed with the sun and waking up with the sun, then it can completely rebalance your circadian rhythm or when you go back home. But it's all these added distractions once we get back home that throws us off balance again. But the sleep quality outside is so much different than at home.
Yeah, I was talking to another doctor about this, who actually lives not too far from you. She's in Oregon, Dr. Tracy Troncatella. And she mentioned this book called The Circadian Code, which talks exactly about that. And, you know, maybe a year or two ago, I might not have fully bought into it. But now that I'm here more engrossed in nature, it's the circadian rhythm is one of the most influential, like, subconscious factors in my life right now, because it completely transformed, you know, living this close to the equator and being out, you know, because now it's like I'm up when the sun rises, and when the sun goes down, it doesn't take more than a couple hours and I'm just completely wiped out.
Yeah. And I would assume where you live now too is a lot less stress than New York. So that probably helps a lot too.
Yeah, except Puerto Rico throws you for some loops sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, yeah, this is pretty peaceful, and then an earthquake hits, and you're like, oh, there's no electricity for 5 days. Never dealt with that before, but okay, we'll roll with this.
Different type of scenarios that you run into.
Yeah, and you're also an herbalist, is that correct?
I do a little bit with herbs as well. I keep going back and forth with my studies, and then I get distracted by other things, but I've been studying Chinese herbs for about 5 years now.
And what really draws you to herbs or Chinese herbs specifically?
Well, I just find that it's fascinating. Like the more that you and I dig into the functional medicine realm, that's becoming more and more popular. It's the fascinating thing is it's like for the medicine realm, that's brand new. It's a brand new way of thinking, right? All these people is like, whoa, if we look at the entire body and try to find root causes to disease and work on those instead of just chasing symptoms all day long, then we can make some dramatic changes in someone. Well, the Chinese, they've been doing that for thousands of years. And that's why I think like Chinese medicine is so fascinating because they have, I mean, they've been doing this for so long. They've been, they look at different symptoms, but they're trying to figure out root cause. And then they have their whole, all the herbs that they've ever used and the different things that they work well with and how to combine them. It's just super interesting. And they've had a lot of experience because our conventional medicine is what, 120 years at this point. And their medicine is thousands of years old. So I like to see the blending of the two worlds because I think that's where we're going to see a lot of amazing changes in healthcare with people because you're looking at four root causes, but you're also going to have the amazing aspect of emergency medicine that I do think conventional medicine does provide. But I don't think conventional medicine should or does a very good job of treating root causes. They're just more symptom-based.
I agree. And it's like you said, it could be so powerful if it was just okay to combine both, you know? And I think there's functional medicine doctors that are trying to do that because I think a lot of functional medicine doctors have they've gone to traditional medical school, they've worked in emergency rooms, or they're trained as, just regular allopathic medicine. And then they'll go get their functional medicine certificate. And now they're thinking about, okay, well, this person who keeps coming back to me with tonsillitis, is it tonsillitis or is there something more sinister afloat? Is there a more root cause that we can get this at, which is completely different than how I grew up. I was just going to the doctor and he was just pumping me full of antibiotics. Yeah. But looking at it now, it was like, man, if you would have just taught me to not drink, a Coke a day and start my day with Lucky Charms. If you would have just told me that and been like, maybe you should eat more natural food, eat more whole food, find something organic. I'm talking about years of my life would have been much better.
Yep. Yeah. And it's interesting that you talk about, when you were a kid, because I work with a lot of teenagers, especially high schoolers, for sport performance. And it's super interesting because right now, the amount of anxiety and mental health issues in that population is extremely high, like higher than it's ever been. And people are wondering, what's the cause of this? But then you look at the way they eat and almost none of them, we won't push everyone out of that, but most of them do not eat very well. Most of them at this point are staying up past 2 to 3 a.m. doing Snapchat and social media and playing on their phones and all this stuff. So we know they're not getting sleep. They're not getting the nutrients that they need to create healthy hormones, healthy neurotransmitters, all this type of stuff. And people are sitting there trying to figure out, what could possibly be going on? Is it the social media? Is it the stress from school? Is it whatever? No, you're missing the big picture here. If they get good sleep, if they eat well and take care of their bodies, I would bet that most of these issues that we see would clean up pretty dramatically. Now, it's not all going to get fixed. There's always outliers, but I think that's going to make a huge difference right there.
So true, man. I think about this a lot. This, if we haven't hit it already, this health catastrophe, and you see it in people my age, you see in people in their 40s and 50s, like we talk about chronic disease. What's it? 1 in 2 Americans have a chronic disease. But when you look at the kids, and we probably both know about the Pottinger's cats thing,
yep.
With like the generational, the generational toxicity and the generational deformities that just passed down. Well, now we're in that third or fourth generation of cats. And it's like, well, these kids have every piece of knowledge and information available to them. Yet it's like you said, they're up till two, three in the morning on Snapchat. They're drinking a lot of soda. They're eating crap food. They're not sleeping enough. And then I would imagine with athletes, it's even more because they're putting their body through the rigors of sports.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, it's like if we could just kind of reset and go, okay, we're going to focus all of this holistic attention on the younger generation. And they're, I would imagine, fairly receptive to it. If you can build a habit younger, it tends to stick more. That's who really needs it. Because childhood obesity too, it's, I mean, what's it, like 1 in 4 kids is considered obese or something crazy like that? It's insane.
I think it's 1 in 3.
1 in 3. That's, oh yeah. My God, man. Oh, that's criminal. That is criminal on the part of, I mean, you're talking about the food companies, the big pharma, all of it. That's bonkers.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I think, you know, with all the situation going on in the world now, I think people are becoming more aware that having any type of health issue, you are more susceptible to some bad stuff, right? You're more susceptible to some new diseases that could be roaming the world and all that type of stuff. So I think people are becoming more aware that their health actually makes a difference. I just hope that we can spread the message to enough people and people are willing to make the change. Because you and I, we could wish that upon every single person in the world. Doesn't mean that's going to happen. Each person has to make the choice that's what they want to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The anxiety really worries me too with these kids because, man, I couldn't imagine the pressure on a younger than 18-year-old kid to like keep your social media presence relevant, you know, and just dealing with like cyberbullying at the level that it probably happens, like just having a camera phone, you know, it's we are animals with this stuff, you know, we are just like animals, and it's like, yeah, we it's sophisticated technology, but it's like it's still just a camera, and we're looking at crazy stuff, we're taking pictures, and we're putting things on, like, you know, luckily it didn't exist when I was a kid, because man, I could never get a job right now. You know, I'd be fired from everything. I'd be fired from the internet. They wouldn't even let me do this podcast. But you know, it's like just that. It's like, and then when this anxiety grows with you and then it gets diagnosed and then they put you on a pharmaceutical, and you know, these psychopharma drugs, man, the number they do on people, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and they're starting to hand it out like candy. That's the scary part.
That's frightening to know that it's like as a kid, like you'll never really be able to connect with who you are as you grow into an adult. You know, it's like I look back 16, 17, even at 24, 25. I mean, I was like 3 different people between those times. You know, you just have to kind of let it happen, and to not experience that growth and to have your mind warped by these drugs and to not have the foresight to have somebody above you telling you that you have to take this because it's going to help you control a disease that you have versus a natural reaction to stimuli that nobody really understands. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about that for, you know, those growing spurts that you go through, because a lot of elementary kids are getting put on ADD, ADHD medication. So they are literally going through most of their life never not being medicated. So like you said, they are growing up not ever knowing who they could potentially be without medication. That's a really interesting thought. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah, the ADHD thing too, it's so sad to me that we've decided it. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who deal with ADHD. I deal with ADHD. You know, we talk a lot about ADHD on the podcast and the blog. And, you know, I've really evolved my view of ADHD over the years from a thing where, you know, I think the knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, that's not real, right? Like it's like the get off my lawn, you know, old man response, like ADHD, these stupid kids, right? But when you really think about it, it's like, of course it's a real thing. You know, when you have all of these different electronics and, you know, I hate to say it, but when you have like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and a million different, like at your fingertips, videos and information that you can watch, of course, how are you not going to get distracted, right? Like, let's be real. If you could just pull up porno when you were a 14-year-old boy at the drop of a dime, I mean, how distracted would you be, right? But I think it all comes back to there might not be a holistic solution, but there's a holistic process that you can do, I believe, to manage these things. And you just, in the end, have to do the best you can.
Yep. That's where awareness comes in, right? That's what you're trying to do with the podcast. You're trying to get people more aware of all these different options. And going back to the root cause, how can we help ourselves get to a position where we're absorbing the nutrients, we're able to, like you do, the holistic nootropics, try to influence everything into our system to be able to get the best brain function that we can have, to the best performance we can have, and all that type of stuff. And that's where awareness comes from.
So when you work with like these student athletes, you know, what is your process? What are you seeing a lot of, and kind of how are you helping these kids really optimize their performance?
Yeah, it's really interesting with teenagers, because they're getting to that point where they know it all, right? They think they know everything in the world. So the big thing for me is trying to get them to think through what it is they're putting into their body, or doing for their body, so sleep and all that type of stuff, by asking them questions on how they feel after doing certain things. So if they come to me and they're super tired, then I'll talk to them like, oh, you know, what time did you go to bed last night? Probably around 2 a.m. And then you woke up around 6 a.m. to get ready for school. Yeah, you know, 5:30 probably, because I have to shower and all that type of stuff. And then you just walk through it with them and be like, so do you think being tired like this, you're going to be able to perform your best? Or are you going to be able to make the right decisions in the sport that they're playing, or anything like that? Or if a lot of them already are really worried about, you know, grades and all that stuff at school, because everyone pushes college really heavily and they're all worried about, will I ever make it into college? That lack of sleep, is that going to allow your brain to function the way that it needs to in order to get your schoolwork done? You know, it's these little conversations where I try not to overwhelm them. It's just little tiny seeds that I'm planting so that they are more aware of the choices that they made and how it influences them, so that they can then try different things to see if they feel better. So if we're talking about, you know, you only got 3.5 hours of sleep last night and you wonder why you're tired, and then they start going to bed at 10 and then they're waking up at 5:30, how much different they feel with that? How much more focused they were at school? How much more they can, you know, see ahead in the game that they're playing, and the better decisions they make in their sports and all that type of stuff. And then we can talk about food too. You know, a lot of them, if they do eat breakfast, usually it's something super sugary and it just jacks them up. And so then we talk about, you know, how do you feel after the food? So you have, you know, something with, you know, a coffee that's basically a milkshake and it's got 100 grams of sugar in it. How do you feel after that? Again, can you focus in class? How about that first period and second period? When do you get hungry after that? Oh, you're hungry in about 30 minutes after having something like that? Is that actually a meal? What does hunger mean? Hunger mean for your body? What is your body saying that it needs more food for? And just walking through all those different types of conversations. And a lot of times it's nothing forced on my end. It's more going with what they say, because kids love to talk almost always. And then you just kind of help guide them and let them make the choices.
That's incredible, because even for adults, you know, like I think one of the most powerful tools that I have, and you probably have too, is like a food and mood journal. And yep, having somebody fill that out. And I mean, we're talking adults, right? We're talking professionals, you know, who have never connected how they feel to the food they eat. And when you write down, when you start keeping track of your food, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I start every day with like a bowl of Frosted Flakes. And then, you know, about 45 minutes later, I'm starving. And then so, you know, I'll drink my fourth cup of coffee for the day. And then I'm feeling really hungry. And then I start to, you know, then I'll start munching on, you know, some potato chips. And then I'll have like a bologna sandwich or something for lunch. And then 2 o'clock, I'm just wiped out. And it's like, yeah, because you just threw your body for so many, you did so much warped chemistry in your body and fired off all of these different, you know, sensitivities and showed your body all of these substances it's not even biologically meant to handle, that it's overwhelmed. It shuts down. And, you know, then they start to say like, okay, well, how do I fix that? And as soon as they make that flip, I think that's the key.
Yeah. And that goes back to what I said earlier, is people have to make the decision themselves. We can't make it for them. By trying to guide someone and get them to realize what blank does for blank, I think that really helps them to make those decisions. Because the more they become conscious of this choice I made over here did this to me over here, the more they can make the changes necessary to actually improve their health.
Hey everybody, just wanted to take a second to break away from the podcast to tell you about my favorite pre-formulated nootropic stack. That is Mind Lab Pro. I look at Mind Lab Pro kind of like a nootropic multivitamin. If you're a nootropic newbie, this is a great nootropic stack to start with. Even if you're an experienced nootropic user, maybe you've been putting together your own kind of different stacks using different nootropics together, and maybe you've hit a plateau, maybe you just haven't found the one that works right for you. Maybe you found something that worked right, and then you try to pair it with something else, and the whole thing kind of fell apart, and then that original nootropic doesn't work for you. Mind Lab Pro is pre-formulated. It's made by scientists, so they actually pre-formulate it with the right amounts, the right ingredients, 11 research-backed nootropic ingredients, by the way, that are proven to help boost your cognition, your memory, your focus, your mood, all those benefits you look for out of a nootropic, especially a nootropic stack, you're going to get with Mind Lab Pro. You've got citicoline, which is going to boost your acetylcholine production. It's going to boost dopamine. It's going to boost your focus. It's going to boost your memory, your processing speed. You've got phosphatidylserine, which is going to help you with nerve growth factor. It's got glucose metabolism enhancement. You've got the modulation of the HPA axis. It's going to help your energy levels. It's going to help your mood. It's going to help your stress levels, which is so important. You've got Bacopa monnieri. You've got rhodiola, an amazing adaptogenic herb. You got one of the most popular nootropic or holistic nootropics out there, lion's mane mushroom. You're getting that nerve growth factor, literally growing new brain, promotes healthy brain cell function. So many amazing benefits from lion's mane. You've also got things like maritime pine bark extract, and of course, N-acetyl L-tyrosine, which is going to help boost dopamine levels, and of course, norepinephrine levels. So if you need a boost in mood, if you're dealing with some depression, if you just need to be a little bit more lively, let's say you're kind of falling apart going out in social situations, assuming you're breaking your social distancing, you're going out, you need a little N-acetyl L-tyrosine. And then of course, one of the classic great nootropics, L-theanine. Hit that alpha brainwave, get into flow. If you're trying to pair something with coffee to take the edge off a little bit, or if you're just getting rid of caffeine in general, L-theanine is a great nootropic amino acid. And then you have the cofactors, the B vitamins to help really put everything together, B6, B9, B12, you know, it's like you can have all these amazing nootropics together, but if you don't turn on the fire, if you don't stir the pot, that's what the B vitamins do. They help get everything together so that it's metabolized, it hits your brain, it works the way it's supposed to do. Right now, we have a deal with Mind Lab Pro directly through holisticnootropics.com. You get 3 months of Mind Lab Pro with an extra fourth month for free. Just go on over to holisticnootropics.com/Mind Lab Pro. Again, holisticnootropics.com/Mind Lab Pro. Get one free month of Mind Lab Pro with the purchase of 3. You can't beat this deal. The nootropic multivitamin, Mind Lab Pro, my favorite. Okay, let's get back into the podcast.
So a lot of this stuff, I used to just throw protocols at people. Oh, you're coming in and this is going on. Then boom, here is your entire protocol that you need. And if you follow it step by step, you're going to get better. But from what I found in a lot of cases, people have a really hard time following that because it's a complete 180 of their current lifestyle. And by doing that, most people can't follow that because that's not how they've ever lived. You do get some people that are really good at following directions that can follow something like that and they do great. But the majority of people, they need those small changes that will have huge impacts over a dedicated time period. And then they'll start noticing huge improvements after that.
Yeah, I think it's the small changes thing that people don't realize that sometimes, yeah, I mean, you could look at you could say my health is a mess. And then you're like, you have that, it's like the Sunday night like revelation of like, okay, tomorrow's Monday, everything changes. I'm eating a salad, I'm getting up early, I'm gonna run 3 miles, I'm gonna get a bunch of work, and then it's like it never happens or it never sticks, right? Because you're just trying to do so much, you're trying to change, you're like, I'm just gonna eat chicken and broccoli and it's gonna be, you know, for every meal, and it's no. Sometimes it's like all you need to do is just swap out your breakfast. Like just say, hey, everything else keep the same in the day. And then for your breakfast, instead of eating a bowl of cereal, try something with more protein and more fat and see how you feel after that. And for a lot of people, it's like, yeah, man, I didn't get hungry for like 6 hours. And then I just didn't have a big lunch and then I didn't get tired. And it was like, yeah, so all I had to do was just change like one little thing. And then from there, then the other stuff becomes more manageable.
Yeah. And it's pretty interesting because if people feel really good after like a breakfast, if they're a breakfast eater, then that usually has amazing impact the rest of the day. Like if you just went 6 hours without eating and you felt really good from that breakfast, well, you skipped out on those 4 cups of coffee. You didn't have your milkshake as a snack 2 hours after your normal breakfast. And you just saved yourself all this other stuff that could drag you down deeper into the hole that you were coming from. And it's like that little boost that you need to get on track. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is like my biggest issue with the biohacking community and the nootropics community. And it's that everybody, it's like we're taking an allopathic medicine approach to I don't want to say functional medicine, but like kind of integrative living to like holistic living, right? So it's like, okay, maybe you don't take like 5 prescriptions a day, okay? But you're taking 25 supplements because basically what you're doing is like, I have a supplement, I have my probiotic, I have a supplement for my energy, I have a supplement for my brain fog, I have a supplement for my, you know, inflammation, I got a supplement for this. And before you know it, it's like, you don't realize, again, you're dealing with so much biochemistry that, you know, you're trying to make so many changes. And, you know, basic science is you build a baseline and you change one thing at a time and you record, how does that change work? Was it positive or negative? If it was negative, okay, well, go back to the baseline and change something else. And, you know, again, I think it just comes down to like a societal pressure thing where it's like, we have to be perfect all the time. We have to be on all the time. We can't get left behind. So if I'm not functioning optimally with, you know, so much juice during the day and I'm just happy all the time, then I'm not living, I'm not doing it right.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the sayings I'm sure you've heard is you can't supplement yourself out of a bad diet, right? So you can't just take a pill to fix everything. And I would say that we are very trained to take a pill for everything. But however, that might not be the way that you get fixed. You got to start with the foundations that you're talking about: good sleep, good food, movement, stress reduction. All that stuff is very important to build those solid foundations. If you take care of that stuff, you're probably going to get yourself 70% of the way that you need to be as healthy as possible. And then that last 20-30%, that's where you start to do more of the biohacking and you can get a lot deeper into stuff and really fine tune your system and just be at that optimal performance level that you've ever been at.
Yeah. Cause it's like, there's that thing of when you wake up in the morning, you know, do you feel great? No, it's okay. You don't have to, right? It's like, you don't have to feel amazing every minute of the day. When you just kind of be grateful for like the little things like, hey, my digestion's working great. You know, I don't have these stomach cramps anymore. And I don't feel like passing out when I stand up too fast. You know, when you just get those little things down and then, yeah, jump into some biohacking, go mess with a supplement, you know, get like Bacopa Monnieri or do some high dose lion's mane or something and see if you feel like you don't want a brain buzz. You know what I mean? You don't want a buzz from supplements, right? Like if you want a buzz from if you want a buzz, go get drunk or go, you know, smoke some weed or, you know, go do some magic mushrooms or something, right? But don't try to like take so much lion's mane with some ashwagandha, you know, some phenylparacetam and some kratom or whatever. And then, you know, be like, how come I feel like shit still? And because you didn't do anything. You just dumped a bunch of chemicals in your body.
Yeah, that must be all the herbs and the plants' fault, not your fault. Right. You don't feel great.
Right. And that's the thing about plants too, is like they've got their own defense mechanisms. Like they are not about helping you. They're trying to like keep themselves alive.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. And the whole like, you know, the biohacking community, there's a lot of biohackers out there and they're not really changing much. They're just getting all these different biohacking devices without changing their, you know, their lifestyle. And they're wondering why they spent all this money on something and they're not really feeling the effects. And it's because that stuff is doing very subtle effects, but it works much better if your body was already tuned up.
Yeah. You have to... you're a gut guy, right? Like you, you know, you believe in the, was that where, you know, kind of like your health thing started was with gut, or I've read that you're like, yours was kind of more related to mold. Is that correct?
Yeah. So a big health crisis was mold. I always sleep with windows open, or I used to, I don't anymore. Cause I just like that cold feeling coming over like my face as I'm sleeping. I like to be wrapped up in blankets with coldness on my face. But up here in Washington, it rains 10 months out of the year. So what was happening is the moisture from outside is slowly seeping into, the materials around my bedroom. And then, you know, you sleep 7 to 8 hours. So you're breathing in all these mold spores. Well, I got to a point where I got so sick. I was basically, I mean, it was so close to being bedridden. Every time I'd wake up, the alarm clock would go off. I would count how many hours it would take before I could go back to sleep because I just didn't want to get up and I had zero energy. Also got to the point where my whole body got stiff. I couldn't even look over my shoulder to change lanes on the freeway as I'm driving. Headaches all the time, fatigue, never wanted to go hiking anymore because I just didn't have the energy. And then going through a lot of conventional testing, could not figure out what the heck was going on. And then it was another NTP actually that brought up the idea of mold. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. So we went on a mold protocol and tried that out. And after a week, I was about 70 to 80% better. And that's when I knew, okay, this mold thing is a big deal. Yeah. So for me, mold is just crazy. And I'm sure you probably have a lot down there too. I'm guessing the humidity is pretty high and there's probably a lot of mold issues down there.
Dude, the amount of mold in my closets, in the rooms, because the humidity is crazy. There's water damage everywhere. And it's just, it's really the humidity. It's just relentless. They say like most of the cars here are just have so much mold, you know, because when Maria came through, I mean, everybody's car got flooded out. And, you know, you can correlate bad health to a lot of things here, but I think mold does play a big role in the health crisis that I see here in Puerto Rico for sure. And in New York too, when I was in New York, I mean, those buildings are, it's not the same climate as Washington, but it's very dark and cold and wet a lot. And, absolutely. And nobody's talking about it.
No. And like one of the things I talk about a lot too is, building of homes or anything really here in Washington never stops. So you're driving through in the middle of winter and it's dumping rain and you see all these homes that are being built and everything is soaked. And, you know, I'm helping my parents build a house right now from the ground up and just watching material, the mold resistant material that you get doesn't take much moisture before you start seeing mold start growing on it. So the fact that all these places are constantly just being soaked, and then I would almost 100%, guess that they are not being dried out all the way. You're basically walking into a place that already has some mycotoxins. Now, a healthy system would be able to handle some of that, but when it gets out of control, then that's when you run into a lot of issues.
Yeah, I was just talking to another doctor who runs a gut clinic in the Bay Area, and she helps health coaches about, you know, gut issues. She's really educated on the mold thing, and she basically said the same thing. She's like, well, if you have a healthy gut microbiome, like a really well-optimized gut microbiome, you could deal with mold okay, you know, not like an exorbitant amount. Like if you're sleeping in just, you know, a sleeping bag full of mold, obviously it's gonna be a problem. But she's like, a good healthy microbiome is built to handle an okay amount of mold. But unfortunately, most people, their microbiome is not optimized. And, right, you know, we are missing, again, going back to all of the nutrients and minerals missing from our food and all the bacteria missing from our food and the sterilization of antibiotics and hand sanitizer and all these things. It's like, we've really set ourselves up to be more mold sensitive now.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, is the sterilization of the entire world, especially right now, right? I'm super curious to see how our microbiomes react to the world and environment that we're going into right now with everything being hyper cleaned. Yeah, I don't know what you think about that one.
I don't have a lot of faith, man. I'll be honest. I have not put on one dollop of hand sanitizer since this whole thing started. And they want you to, you know, like in my building, they put up these little hand sanitizer things and my security guards are like, you need to put hand sanitizer on. And it's, you know, I'll go to the store and you have to wait outside and socially distance from everybody. And then they let you in, they shoot you in the face with like a thermometer thing. And then they have a little hand sanitizer thing. And they're like, now you got to go to the hand sanitizer. And I just like, I just go up to it. I'm like, boop, boop. And then, you know, I don't put any of that stuff on because I know what it is. Like, I know what it does. And I'm just watching people bathing in that stuff. And everywhere you go, it's like sold by the pallet. And, you know, people don't, it's not mainstream to understand like what you're really doing to yourself when you put that stuff on.
Yeah, and there were studies that came out a couple years ago that was showing even hand sanitizer on your hands is getting it into your microbiome and killing off your microbiome. And I mean, you said it exactly. People are literally bathing and wiping hand sanitizer all over their entire bodies because they want to clean any potential virus or bacteria, anything off of their bodies. So if a little bit on your hands can get into your microbiome, you're basically, you know, using an antibiotic on your skin that's getting into your microbiome and killing everything off. And it's no wonder that I'm going to assume we're going to have a lot of gut issues coming out of all this. And people living in super moldy areas, I'm sure they're going to run into interesting issues, and we'll just have to see. But that's going to be my prediction.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. I mean, we talk about this thing, they're like, a second wave is going to come. Well, of course a second wave is going to come, because there's going to be a third wave and a fourth wave, because, you know, I think there is this element. And again, it goes back to, you know, to your point we're talking about at the very beginning, which is when you connect with nature, like as humans, that's what we're meant to do. We're supposed to be physically interacting with our physical environment. Like, you're supposed to be getting in the dirt. You're supposed to be, you know, putting your hands on rocks and sleeping under the stars and, you know, and yes, human to humans, we're supposed to be like talking and breathing on each other. We're supposed to be touching each other. Like, we're supposed to be swapping bacteria and viruses. Does it sound gross? Yes, because that's how we've been conditioned. But I hate to say it, we are filthy animals. That's who we are, you know? And it's no surprise that as we've cleaned up, chronic disease has also risen. And, you know, with the microbiome, whatever it is, it's like, we're not supposed to be killing off bacteria. Like, nature put it there for a reason, and it's gonna come back in droves. And people don't, again, understand that autoimmunity is tied to the gut, right? Like, health, mental health, serotonin is made in your gut. If you're not making serotonin, yeah, of course you're gonna feel depressed. And then you're gonna go to the doctor, and you know, they're gonna say, well, you're depressed. Well, funny because I only got 10 minutes to see you. So how can I make you happy in 10 minutes? Well, you could take this, you know, serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And don't worry, there's no end date on it. Just take it until you feel better. Well, you never feel better. Well, just take another one, you know, and it just goes on and on. And I hate to say it, man, we're going to see a spike of this stuff.
Yep. Well, especially now that we're learning more and more that a lot of neurotransmitters are made in the gut. And what percentage of people have crappy guts? Pretty high percentage. So people wonder why they're, you know, getting depressed and all that type of stuff. And going back to anxiety and all that, a lot of that's coming directly from your gut. You don't take care of the gut, you're going to have neurotransmitter issues.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the amount of... just look at the amount of chemicals, whether it's in the food, the water. I mean, you just got to look at the sales. How much money did General Mills make last month? Or how much money did Kraft make last month? Or Pepsi or Coca-Cola? How much money do these people make? Well, take that money and that's all in people's guts right now. And all of those chemicals that when you read that label, all of those, you know, red nines and monophosphate this and dioxin this and, you know, all these big words, man. These are chemicals that go in your gut and they just wipe out your good bacteria. They mess with the health of your gut. And then it goes back to the whole thing. You're not absorbing even the good food that you have. You sabotage the good stuff that you have. And now you've created dysbiosis. And for everyone, it takes different forms. And in the end, you're right. Like, you can't make your neurotransmitters. You can't make your dopamine, your serotonin. You know, you're going to get physical pain. And then you get toxin buildup because you can't physically flush stuff out of you. I mean, it just hits you from so many different angles.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I was very excited about is people were actually testing foods and seeing how much pesticides can be found in foods. Because a lot of these pesticides are designed to destroy pests from the inside out directly through their guts. And as it goes through their systems, then they die. And to discover that it is being found in the food that most people are eating, all the processed food, and showing that, oh, look, it's not getting processed out. It's still in there. And now seeing how many people have autoimmune conditions, chronic disease, gut issues, all this type of stuff, it's pretty interesting that, I mean, correlation does not equal causation, but I would say that there's a pretty good correlation there.
Of course. Yeah. And I talk pretty harsh about the stuff. It's just my own personal beliefs, of course. Like, if I wanted to, I could sit back and take it and find all of the confirmation bias confirming data I want and all this stuff.
Right.
You're right. Correlation doesn't equal causation, but man, like, you're in practice, I'm in practice. You see the living manifestation of it, you know? Like, you see, okay, how much glyphosate do we spray on crops every single day, every single year? And you can take, I don't know if you run organic acids tests, but you know, you can run glyphosate tests on people and you could physically show them like, look, this is how much glyphosate is in your urine.
Yeah.
That number should be zero. But it's all the way up here and it's nothing you did. It's just so prevalent in all of the food, even the organic food, you know, it's very hard to keep out of. It's in the water, it's in the ground, it's in everything.
Yep. Yeah. And it's influencing everything too. And like, this year I got honeybees. So I have a couple hives that I've been, taking care of. And it's interesting because when the bees find something that's been sprayed with pesticides, they come back and they die. And you just see them a lot of times with their tongues out. There's other indications as well. But to know that there's spraying happening within, you know, a certain distance around where you're living and you're that close to it and you don't actually know where it is, but you know that it's wherever they're flying to, which is relatively close. So this stuff is being sprayed all around us. It doesn't matter where you are, it's happening.
Yeah, it's getting sprayed around us and then the wind blows and it goes all up in, you know, I have a friend who works in the food. He's like a food safety inspector. He's in that field. And he says, he's like, you know, I was like, what do you think of organic food? He's like, we have a saying, it's called the wind blows. And it just basically means it's like you get these non-organic farms next to organic farms and a little bit of wind, you know, you got somebody spraying glyphosate and the wind just you know, just pushes all that glyphosate into the organic farm farm field. And it's not just on the plants, but it gets in the soil. And once it's in the soil, now the whole plant for the next, I don't know, however many rotations, is it's going to have that influence. To what degree, I don't know. But that this is why when I see like organic food, it's like I want organic that was grown miles away from civilization. You know, like in Puerto Rico, I need food that was grown in the middle of the jungle where planes can't even get to, you know? But I think that's a whole other part of the conversation, which is like, okay, well now where do we source food from? You know? And I think there's a lot more awareness being grown around that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I live right above a valley, and the valley floods every single year. And you have organic farms, and you have not organic farms, and you have some farms that they use Agent Orange to just wipe off and kill everything before they plant. And so those chemicals, every time it floods, it's being lifted out of the soil and deposited elsewhere. So it's literally just moving down the valley. So if you're looking at sourcing of food, like you said, if you can find a farm that's far enough away from, you know, land that's not, or using a lot of pesticides and whatnot, or if you're in a valley or it's in a valley, look above stream too, just in case there is flooding, to know that, okay, all of these farms are not impacting this one because this one's above all of the other ones.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Well, cool, man. This has been a great conversation. I wish we can go longer, but I want to be respectful of your time. I'd love to have you leave the listeners and viewers. Where can they find you? I know you have a great podcast. If you want to shout out your podcast, where can they find you online? If they want to work with you, you know, how would somebody get in touch with you?
Yeah, so since people are listening to this podcast, they can come listen to my podcast. It's the Summit for Wellness podcast. It can be found on any podcast player. And also they can find more about me at summitforwellness.com.
That's great. And just before we go, any parting words you'd like to leave the Holistic Nootropics viewers with? Any words of wisdom?
The main thing is take small steps. You don't have to change everything overnight. Just take small little steps and make small little changes, and you're going to get to whatever that goal that you're trying to reach. You're going to get there eventually, but it doesn't have to happen overnight.
Exactly. That's amazing. Brian Carroll, this has been truly an honor. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Holistic Nootropics podcast. I know anybody listening to this will get a lot of value, and go check out Brian's podcast, Summit for Wellness. It's a good one. One of the best ones on the internet. And thank you, viewer, for watching or listening. For more information on what we do here at Holistic Nootropics, go on over to holisticnootropics.com. For show notes to this podcast, check out holisticnootropics.com/podcast. Thanks so much. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. For more brain-boosting info, in-depth articles, and show notes, check out holisticnootropics.com.